Today's lesson comes to us from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and this is from the New Living Translation. John the Baptist prepares the way. This is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him. This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. John announced, someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandal. I baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. One day, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of Scripture. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with you. I'm Pastor Harold. If you're listening online, you can download our app. You'll see that in the message notes of today's message where you can get that information. And there's show notes and lesson plans and the bulletin for today. And all that will be available there. So we encourage you to utilize those services. We are going through a message series called the Book of Mark. And we started that last week, but mainly it was just an introduction because it was a two-part message last week. Kind of talking about this new movement that we have going on. But also, you know, with this new church plant, church launch for 2025, which is starting now. The work starts now, but we'll actually launch sometime next year. So we started half the messages about that. And then we just kind of in a general way, talked about the book of Mark and that it was the first gospel. It's a robust gospel. And that it gets right into describing Jesus and laying out who Jesus is and all the challenges that come with him in this culture and this time. And today we're really going to dive in and look at John the Baptist and what that means. But before we start, you got to start with humor, right, Dale? Right? Dale says, yes, please. Use me as the brunt of your joke. Please, sir, please. So there's a great knock-knock joke in the world. If you don't know this one, it's a great one. And it's about John the Baptist. So play along, Dale. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
John.
John who?
John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Yeah, John the Baptist. He's melting. I don't know why you're melting. Have some fun. Laugh it up at Dale's expense. But anyway, but what I'd like to do this morning is you got to really think about this scene. So here's just guy, because up to that point in Jewish tradition, you were doing sacrifices, animal sacrifices, grain offerings, burnt offerings, and you were coming to a holy place called the temple, the altar, and you were laying your and bringing your sacrifices there for the atonement of sin. And it's just that particular sin. It wasn't a lifelong forgiveness. It was just, I messed up. Here it is. Let's atone for it. Now along comes John the Baptist, and he's actually baptizing people in the water and forgiving them, which is like a real challenge to the Jewish authority of the day. So they come to him in this scene. They show up. He's in the river with his disciples, who would later become Jesus' disciples. And he's doing he's baptizing people. And he gets challenged by the authorities, just like Jesus would be challenged by the authorities to come. And so he's going to unpack what he's doing. And this little scene is from the Gospel of John, which came out in 2003. It's probably one of my favorite depictions of any gospel, period. They did such a great job with it. But we're going to watch this scene, because I think it's just the visual effects of this scene really make it worthwhile. And if you're listening online, I'll put the video links into the show notes so you can check it out. But it's a really powerful scene. I love how they do this whole Gospel of John movie, because it's word for word out of the Good Living Bible, the Good News Bible, I should say. So it's a little bit different translation than the NLT, but let's check it out.
The Jewish authorities in Jerusalem sent some priests and Levites to John.
Who are you?
John did not refuse to answer, but spoke out openly and clearly.
I am not the Messiah.
Who are you then?
Are you Elijah?
No, I'm not.
Are you the prophet?
No.
Then tell us who you are.
We have to take an answer back to those who sent us.
What do you say about yourself?
John answered by quoting the prophet Isaiah.
I am the voice of someone shouting in the desert.
Make a straight path for the Lord to travel!
The messengers who had been sent by the Pharisees then asked John,
If you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet, why do you baptize?
I baptize with water. But among you stands the one you do not know. He is coming after me, but I'm not good enough even to untie his sandals.
All this happened in Bethany, on the east side of the Jordan River, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming to him.
There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I was talking about when I said, A man is coming after me, but he is greater than I am, because he existed before I was born. I did not know who he would be, but I came baptizing with water in order to make him known to the people of Israel.
And John gave this testimony.
I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and stay on him. I still did not know that he was the one, but God, who sent me to baptize with water, had said to me, You will see the Spirit come down and stay on a man. He is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen it, and I tell you that he is the Son of God.
So it kind of puts a visual with the scripture, I think is important as we get into it. And later on, a few scriptures later, past what Jane read for us, it says that later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is here. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. And that's really what the bulk of our message time today is about. It's you know, the title of today's message is, What is the Purpose of My Life? And if you think about Jesus and what he did, he went right to their occupation. These guys were fishers of men. These guys were fishermen. That's what they did for a living. They fished. And so he went right to them. This is who he followed. A couple of the guys that he saw in that video would be Simon Peter and Andrew, and they would eventually follow right along with Jesus. But that's what Jesus would say to me, follow me. You know, that was his message. And that's his message to us today. Follow me. And it takes a lot of courage to do that, even in the 21st century, when the idea of Jesus or church or religion has been around for thousands of years and is widely accepted in most spaces. It's still a challenge to go out and live a Jesus-centered life and carry that good news because of our egos, because of what are people going to think, you know, and because of our own doubts, our own questions, that we haven't really wrestled enough with that. And so all that can be a prohibitor of us sharing the good news. we're like, we'll invite you to go out to eat, or we'll invite you to a Christian concert or something, or even to church. But to sit down and really have a real discussion about turning from the way you're living now and to come live a different life is challenging for a lot of people, and it's important to know why. And so these guys had the same questions, because that was their questions when Jesus would come to them. Well, you know, he's giving it, telling them about the good news, and they're like, well, where are you going? And he says, well, just follow me, and you'll find out where I'm going. Just come and do what I do. Walk shoulder to shoulder with me, and I'll show you what I'm doing. And so he goes right after their occupation. So think about your own life. What gives you identity in your own life? And for most people, a lot of times, this is their occupation. It's what I do for a living. You know, some of them are, you have particular talents. You might be a physician, or you might be a mechanic, or you could be a stylist, or you could be, an inspector, you might be self-employed, a contractor. The list goes on and on of all the different types of occupation. But for so many of us, that's our identity. We put all of our energy, all of our time, everything. That's what defines us. You know, I work for the fire department. You know, I work at the hospital. I work down here. It's just, and so Jesus goes right to the heart of what means the most to these people, and he tells them to leave it. Leave it behind and follow him. And they were all enough, and they were desperate enough, and they were separated enough in their life that they wanted something different. That's why people were coming to John, because they were suffering separation from God. And that's what the whole gospel is about. All the gospels, all four of them. The whole New Testament is about the separation problem we have between us and God, that we're separated. And it starts when we get into the world, we're separated. And that separation problem, this cavity, if you would, that's inside us, that only the Spirit of God can fill. Until we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, not just with water, but I mean really baptized with the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit dwells in that space. Until that happens, we're living on self-propulsion. And the Spirit's the darkness of whatever the world has to offer. And I will put anything in that cavity to try to make myself feel better, from drugs to pornography to and it didn't necessarily have to be something in the context of evil. It could just be my job. It could be golf. It could be, it could be just shopping. It could be shoes. It could be a lot of things that just consumes most of my time. It's what my life's about. It's what I wake up about. It's what I think about. And you become what you think about most. And if you think about stuff outside of spiritually principled way of living, then just, that's what you're going to live. You're going to do what you think about most. It's just a human nature to do so. And so we're challenged to allow to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when that Spirit comes to dwell inside us, there's a mission involved. It means that we have to die to our own self-interest and live for God's ambitions. And for most of us, that's very challenging to do. In the beginning of our Christian walk, we need to be discipled, if you would, into that. And that's what happened with these guys. These guys walked with Jesus for 3 years, shoulder to shoulder, town to town, place to place, being mentored, being stewarded, being sponsored, being mentored, being inspired, motivated, encouraged, taught, even reprimanded from time to time for disobedience or from doubting along their ways. And the Bible is full of these stories. And as John's gospel would say, what Jesus did in that short period of time, he did so many things that you couldn't write them all down. You can't even write them all down. The libraries wouldn't even hold all the books that he done. So we get these snapshots in the Gospels that really give us, I think, answers, if you would, to life's essential questions. And the first question of this whole message series is what is my purpose? What gives you purpose? And at the end of the day, you're going to find out. I was talking to a gentleman from Texas yesterday. He's 79 years old. He's been a Christian for a long time. He's been clean and sober for almost 43 years. But he wanted to call and just have a theological discussion. He's alone. He doesn't have anybody in his life. And the big pillar of life is upon him. He goes, I just feel like I'm leaving something out. He goes, I'll be honest with you. Here's what I'm really afraid of. I'm afraid that it's not going to be too long and I'm going to be in some Medicare facility all by myself, left all alone, and nobody's going to even know I'm there and nobody's even going to care anymore. That's how separated he is. And he's been walking with the Lord for a long time. Or so he thinks. And so it's that cavity, it's that space that leaves us empty and separated. And we can be coming around for a long time and still be suffering that separation. And I think that's what the gospel's all about, is that it's good news. It's more than just raising your hand saying, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. It's really turning from that old life and living a different set of principles. It's like, I'm going to live by Jesus-centered principles today. And that's going to be my operating mode, and that's what I'm going to live by. And that's the challenge that we all have. And am I willing to die to my own self-interest to do that? Because the world will call my name. Every aspect of my life will call my name. Hey, hey. And if I answer, I'm toast the minute I answer. When they go, hey, Harold, and I go, what? And I'm lost already. Because they're going to pull me in. And I'll be lost and going down a rabbit hole and getting off the spiritual beam. So it's really important to do that. So Jesus in this gospel, from the beginning to the end, spends a great deal of time talking, telling people to follow him. Come follow me. And that message hasn't changed. So here we are in this new season of transformation that we're relaunching, rebranding, replanting a new, new movement, new revolution, if you would. Big time. And it's in its toddler stage. It's really in the concept stage. But to think about what is the overall message that? Follow us. Come. You don't have to live the way you've been living. Come and be not just sing songs and hear messages, but come and do community, do life together. And find a new space and place to do that, and then help others do the same. And that's the purpose. And I've been living under that purpose for a long, long time. And it's made a huge difference in how my life turns out. It's a long walk from where I started at to where I'm standing here, right here today. But in that whole journey, I found purpose to my life. And I just really wouldn't want to live any other way. I enjoy other things, but this is really what calls on me. This is what moves me. There's nothing greater, I don't think, in the Christian walk is to walk somebody who's totally separated, just spiritually separated, and watch God heal that spirit, that separation, and watch their life come together. Watch genuine happiness and joy and freedom come in, that freedom from the bondage of self to be relieved at last. And when it happens, it's a game changer. It'll change your life forever. And that's the message. That is what we're called to do. That is the call to action. So the challenge to you as followers is, what is my purpose? Really, if I had to define it, if outside consultants came in and looked at my life and gave an honest analysis of my life, what would they come back and how would they answer that question? What is your purpose? And they would fill it out. What would they say about you? And Jesus says, I want to be in that space. I want to be the answer to that question in your life. And that's what I'm inviting you to do. And that's what the Gospel of Mark is inviting us to do, is to step in. And that's what John was trying to do. You gotta repent. It's more than just coming and let me dip you in the water, but you gotta be willing to live a different kind of life than what you're living. And people were desperate for that. And like he said, there's somebody's coming, the Lamb of God, who I'm not even worthy to tie his sandals. And he will not only, he goes, I'll baptize you in water, but he's gonna baptize you in spirit. What is spirit? Think about what we've sang today, what we just got done singing in the Newsboy song. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one, triune God, all in one, all working together. So when you got spirit, you're born with God's DNA. Imago Dei, meaning that you were created in God's image. Inside, you were born that way. But to really become a child of God, you have to be adopted into the family, and you only get adopted into the family when you receive the Holy Spirit in your life. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, not only does God start treating you like one of his kids, but you start acting like it. Right? It's a huge difference, and that's that shift. And it just doesn't happen overnight. Some people come alive a lot quicker than others, but it happens. And then life starts to take on a whole new meaning. And things that weren't objectionable to you just weeks prior, sometimes hours before, all of a sudden start to become objectionable. And things that you didn't think would make a difference in your life, or even you didn't even care about, you start to care about those things. And that's the shift. And you have that ultimate shift. You go from a self-centered taker in life, becoming a giver, a Jesus-centered follower that's willing to break your neck to help other people have this journey. And inside of that journey is tremendous promises for your life, not in just in this life, but the life to come. That's not just good news, but that's the best news ever. And that's what we're being invited to in this gospel. That's what we're being invited to. So when you say to somebody, hey, come and join a revolution, come join us, you're asking them to live a whole new way, to come have a whole new experience about life that you've never experienced before. Or maybe you've just had a little taste of it. But your phobias, your isms, your everything in your life, the hearts you broke, the bridges you burned, all those things that separate us from each other, but definitely separate us from God, man, you can start to reconcile that stuff And you can start to not let that be a divider in your life anymore. And what a freedom and a liberation that is. When you watch what happened yesterday on the news, when you see the division in the world, you see the polarization, you see the hate, you see the violence, you see the separation of people's lives spiritually. And at the end of the day, it saddens your heart. Might even make you a little angry. Might even make you a little frightful. But at the end of the day, if you're really following Jesus, you know it's all going away anyway. At the end of the day, this is all going away. We're all going to perish. Jesus made that really clear. My kingdom is not of this world. He just got done saying it. I just read it for you. Verse 16. My kingdom is not of this world. But it's here. And we're supposed to live in a kingdom and visit the world, not be in the world and visit the kingdom. And that's what we're called to do. And so you can do that. And I've been doing it for a long time. So you watch that stuff, but it isn't what directs your life. You know, Fox News or MSNBC or CNN's not going to be the motivator of my life, the purpose for what I'm living. It's not going to direct my thinking and how I'm going to live my life. What we study today is, right? Because all those news channels, they all have the same commercial. We'll be right back in a few seconds to scare the living heck out of you. Just stay tuned. We'll be right back. Right? That's what they all do. Right? And if you listen long enough to that stuff, you'll be lost to that stuff. And you will be speaking. You'll be walking backwards and can't even talk because you're just so, your mind's so polluted with nonsense. Be in God's Word. Study what we're studying today. Follow Jesus. No matter what goes on in the world, you're going to be okay. Right? That's the message. That's the way that we want to live. So I want to pray for us, and then we're going to have a time of giving. I'm going to ask a couple of you guys, Tim and Taylor, can you guys hand these offering plates around when we go to giving here in a minute? I'm going to pray for us first, and then we'll have a time of giving. I'll pray real quick over that, and then the band's going to come back up, and we're going to sing another song. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Mark's gospel. We thank you for John the Baptist. What a courageous guy. A guy whose life was really just a fast. You could just say his whole life was a fast. He lived on locusts and honey. That was it. So food eating wasn't a big deal for him. He did it out of necessity, not as a purpose for his life. Great lesson there. His whole life was about serving you, about baptizing others, about sharing the good news to the limitations that he had, to the news that he had. He shared it. He wasn't afraid what people thought. He wasn't afraid what the authorities thought. He just spoke the truth. And people wanted the truth. They wanted to be set free. And here comes your son into our lives, and who gives us the ultimate promise that if you receive the truth will set you free, and you will be free indeed. And we know that promise is true for so many of us. But there's people that it hasn't happened for yet. People that we love. Maybe our own children, grandchildren, siblings, neighbors, best friends, co-workers, all around us. There's people that have this cavity. They aren't filled with your Holy Spirit. And we know that you're calling us as your followers to be invitational in their lives. Not confrontational, but invitational by just the example how we live, the demonstration that we give, but by just loving encouragement. Come, there's a better way. Come and check this out. Come and meet this guy, this God, this Jesus-looking God named Jesus, and say yes to his invitation. Respond to the gospel invitation, and you will live a Jesus-centered life, and it'll be the best life you could ever possibly live on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what you give us, Lord. You give us that kind of promise, that big, bold promise that if we come all the way in to this thing, this is the life we'll have. And we know it's true. But with that truth, comes a huge responsibility, and that is to carry it and invite others to follow. So give us the courage to do that. Give us the courage to each one of us to do that in our own way, and whatever vices and whatever forces and whatever means that we have before us, help us utilize those things to be invitational, to invite people on this journey. We know that you don't bring two of us together, you only bless one of us, so we'll all be blessed in this work. And so we pray for that, and we pray boldly in your son's name. Amen.